طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. We're reading today, this is our 47th session, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. For homework, I mentioned last week and I sent you a reminder also during the week that for today we're going to complete the book of Zakat. Today is the last lesson in the book of Zakat, inshallah. And what we're going to be doing today is reviewing the lesson by answering the questions, the 11 questions that came at the end of the book of Zakat. And we requested on page 64 and 65 that the answers be written out, full answers written out, okay? So please, you know, let's try as best as we can to give full answers to these questions. Yeah, and it is intended as a review. And the reason why I ask you to write the answers out is for two reasons. Number one, so that you take the time to prepare for this session today by actually writing out the answers. Number two, for you to practice writing. And number three, so that we don't take a long time in answering the questions if we've already researched the answers before we came in today. Okay, so it's 11 questions. Some of them are a little bit lengthy. And for that reason, you know, if they are written answers, then it's a little bit easier for us to complete them. What I'm going to try to do as we go through these questions, I'm going to attempt to give you the place where the answers are in case you missed any answers. Or if somebody is joining us for the first time, they will at least know where to go back to and try to find the places that we are that we're looking at. Okay, so if you have written answers, I'm going to give you preference. Otherwise, if you memorize the answer or you know it well, no problem. Everybody can participate, inshallah. Let's read the questions and then let's try to answer them as best we can. And if there's a question about the answer or the subject, we'll try to take a little bit of time for clarification. Okay, the first question, we're on page 64, right? The questions are on page 64 and 65, the end of Kitab al-Zakat. The first question is, Arif al-Zakat wadhkur hukmaha wa'ala man tajibu. This three-part question. Okay, so we'll take one part at a time. Anybody can take any part that they want. Arif al-Zakat. This is the first part of the question. Means? Define al-Zakat. What is the definition of Zakat? The second part of the question, wadhkur hukmaha, and mention its ruling. And the third part of the question, ala man tajibu.
To whom
it
is obligatory.
Huh?
To whom it is obligatory.
To whom is it, upon whom is it obligatory? And who's required to fulfill the obligation of Zakat. Okay, the first part of the question, Arif al-Zakat, is on page 53. Naam. Abdul Haq, can you give us the first part of the answer? Definition of Zakat. Okay, this is a two-part definition. The linguistic definition and the technical definition. Which part you want to give us?
How about the technical?
Technical definition. Anybody know the linguistic definition of Zakat?
No.
Zakat, Lugatan, uh-huh. Annama wa ziyada. The linguistic definition of zakat is annama wa ziyada. Annama means growth and ziyada means increase. This is the technical definition of zakat. Something that grows and increases. Zakat. Naam. Technical definition? Mustalah? Naam. وعليكم السلام.
للأصناف الثمانية المنصوص عليها في كتاب الله تعالى.
نعم. حق يجب في المال البالغ نصابا. حق an obligation. نعم. And what يجب, that's obligatory. في المال البالغ نصابا, يعني in the wealth that has that reached the minimum نصاب, and it's an obligation, it's a right that is obligatory concerning wealth that has reached the نصاب. Who is it for? For the eight categories, للأسناف الثمانية المنصوص عليها في كتاب الله تعالى. عليكم السلام. نعم, absolutely. Absolutely. Barakallah feekuma. Allah make it a pleasure for you, an enjoyment and a means of nearness to Him, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair, akhi. Go above and beyond, brother, I say to you. Go above and beyond. Excel, inshaAllah, and ihsan. Huh? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Better than that. Better than that. Better than that. MashaAllah. His mother just came that he didn't see in 19 years. Allahu Akbar. Now, this opportunity, if your mother's still alive, take advantage of it before she's gone. You only get one. You only get one chance to be kind to your mother, to be generous, yani to be dutiful. If your mother is alive, you are fortunate that you still have a chance. Yani because there may come a time, yani she may die before you, and you will wish that you had done good by her. Anyway, alhamdulillah, he is fortunate today that his mother is arriving, and this is yani a mercy from Allah indeed. Naam. If your mother is not with you, she's not near to you, yani express every kind of goodness and kindness and dutifulness to her until you can reach her. Naam. Naam. Zakat, lugatan, nama wa ziyada, yani in istilah, haqqun yajibu fil ma'al al-balig nisab, nisaban. Yani it is a right which is obligatory upon concerning the wealth that has reached the minimum amount. It is to be distributed to the eight categories that have been mentioned specifically and mansus alayha in the book of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah ayah. Which ayah? Huh? Ayah, 9th Surah, 60th ayah. 60th ayah. Okay, the second part of the question, وَذْكُرْ حُكْمُهُ وَذْكُرْ حُكْمَهَا. Mention its ruling. What is the ruling concerning الزَّكَاة? What is its ruling? نعم, فضل.
حُكْمُهَا هِيَا أَحَدُ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ.
نعم.
وَهِيَا الرُّكْمُ الثَّالِثُ بعد الشهادتين والصلاة وهي فريضة واجبة بالكتاب والسنة والإجماع.
Stop there, inshallah. Faith, what is this ruling? He said it is one of the arkan of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam. And it is the third pillar after the shahadatain and the salat. And it is fariḍa. Yani it is obligatory, its obligation is proven by the book and the sunnah and the consensus. Book, Quran, wa sunnah, wal ijma'. Its ruling is that it is obligatory, fariḍa. Its proof is in the book and the sunnah and the ijma'. This is on page 54, the hukm concerning zakat, yani that it is obligatory, on page 54. The third part of this question, which is on page 55, على من تجبو. On page 55, على من تجبو. Who is it obligatory upon? Zakat is obligatory upon who? Anybody want to try, even if you didn't write the answer? Anybody have an idea? Who is zakat obligatory upon? We're going to come to you, inshallah. Now, who would you say? Yeah, any, it doesn't matter. No. Every Muslim that possess wealth, they reach the minimum nisab. Anybody want to add to that anything?
That is not
a
slave.
That's not what?
Is not a slave.
That is not a slave. Good. Excellent. Point. MashaAllah. Anybody want to add to that anything? Okay. Somebody, Anam?
One year.
Yani that it has to have been in his possession above the minimum amount for 1 year. But in any case, what is important here, the details of the zakat, when it became obligatory, we're going to talk about. But what is important here is that, who is it obligatory upon? Yani every Muslim that is free, that's not a slave, who possessed the minimum amount. Yani that person, zakat is obligatory. When it became obligatory? After they had it for 1 year. But who is it obligatory? Every Muslim that is free, that is not a slave, that possess wealth in the minimum amount of the nisab. And then we can say, yani, as a condition, 1 year has to have passed over it, over that nisab. And also as a condition, yani, that it shouldn't be, yani, from the things that are the person's necessities of life. Yani, their home, their car, their clothing, the things that they need, that's not included to reach the nisab. Yani, a person has a home that's worth $100,000, we don't say that he has to pay zakat, because he owns wealth. His house is not considered from zakat. His car is not considered from zakat. But wealth that he has besides the necessities, that's what we count as zakat. So that's also a condition. But who is it obligatory upon? Every Muslim who's free, who has the minimum amount, excluding the necessities, yani as long as he has that wealth for 1 year. Those are conditions now. It doesn't apply in agricultural things. No. The howl is, and also, yani, if you found, yani, the, yani, treasure, yani, that's also not, it's not applicable there. Okay, so the main thing here, who is it applicable on? Every Muslim. So that means that even if a child has wealth, they're Muslim, and they have wealth in the nisab, zakat is obligatory upon them, meaning if they're not capable themselves of, yani, fulfilling it, whoever is responsible for them has to make sure that the zakat is fulfilled on their wealth. Okay, the next question is question number 2. ما حكم من أنكر وجوب الزكاة? What is the ruling concerning من أنكر وجوب الزكاة? What is the rule concerning? Ruling concerning what? What does that mean? The one who denies or rejects the obligation of zakat. The one who denies the obligation. Okay, this means what? This, yani, there's 2 points here. There's a person who didn't pay zakat for whatever reason. They forgot, they got distracted, whatever happened, yani, they got greedy or something. There's a difference between the person who didn't pay zakat and the person who denies the obligation of zakat, who says it's not obligatory. Especially if they know the ruling. Yani, they're aware that it's obligatory, but they just said, doesn't matter, I don't agree with this. Okay, so what is the ruling of the person who, yani, denies the obligation of zakat while knowing that it is obligatory? Now, they became what? Person who went out of Islam. That is a murtad. Kafir murtad. Yani, the person who denies the obligation of zakat, then this person has gone out of Islam. Murtad an al-Islam. Yani, kafir murtad. If that person knows that the zakat is obligatory.
He's a fasik,
naam, for sure. Yani, because it's sinful, right? It's an obligation, and the person who doesn't, yani, fulfill it is a sinful person, an evil person. Yani, it's of the major sins. Naam, it is agreed upon by ijma' that zakat is obligatory. Therefore, the person who knows this obligation and rejects it, refuses to comply, and denies that it is obligatory, then this person has gone, yani, out of Islam. Question number 3 is on page 56. On the top of the page, but actually the whole discussion goes on, right? There's some discussion concerning this question. Bayin and nisab alladhi tajibu fihi az-zakat min al-ibli. Bayin and nisab alladhi tajibu fihi az-zakat min al-ibli. What is the meaning of the question?
Clarify the minimum in which the zakat of the evil
now, bayin, yani make clear, clarify the nisab, which is obligatory on zakat related to camels. What is the minimum amount that requires zakat on camels? You mentioned two things. Good. Mention two things. Go ahead.
Because there is a minimum where it is paid in sheep.
Okay, there's a minimum where it's paid in sheep.
And another minimum which is paid in evil.
Okay, and there's another minimum which is paid in evil. Okay, so the original ruling, yani in terms of nisab, is what is the minimum amount that requires a person to pay zakat on camels? That would be the first part of your answer, which is what? Okay, so if a person, he's saying, slow down, don't get excited. It looks like you're amazed. Ma, yani, ma ajab al jawab indak. Oh, how amazing his answer is to you, right? He has the look of amazement at this answer. Okay, we're going to give you a chance. Don't worry. I'm with you, ya Nasir. Don't worry. You're not by yourself, okay? He says that the minimum amount is 25 camels. When a person has 25 camels, then he has to give zakat. What if a person doesn't have 25 camels? Does he have to give zakat?
He has to give zakat. Because you said that the minimum to give him camels.
No. No, that's not... okay, I hear what you're saying. Bayin and nisab alladhi tajibu fi zakat. Zakat... yeah, the meaning here is the zakat on camels. Not zakat in camels.
I have two nisab.
I agree with you. There's two nisabs. But really the nisab is the first of them.
So I said min khamsi
Okay, so he wants to give us some tafsir here, although the question doesn't require that. But no problem, that's good. So Abdul Haq is saying what? Who wants to tell me what he's saying? Not him, somebody else tell me what he's saying. Now.
He's saying that when the number of camels reached 5, he gave that zakat in sheep. But from 25, it has to be from the
In camels. Okay, so, yani, that's true. That if a person has at least 5, they have to give zakat. But that zakat will be in sheep. Up to 24. But if it reaches 25, now the zakat has to be given from their camels. But so the nisab actually is 5. When a person has 5 camels, they have to give zakat. If they have less than that, they don't have to give zakat unless they just want to give something voluntarily. Okay, just quickly, yani, in terms of the table of the zakat of camels, yani, if a person has 24 or less, the zakat is in sheep. Yani, that means that for every
five,
they have to give one sheep. So if they have 10, 2 sheep, 15, 20, 24, still how many sheep?
Four.
If it reached 25, it's not 5 sheep now, it's what? What kind of camel? 1 year old. Yani, bint makhad. 1 year old camel. If it reached 25 up until 35. One year old, bint makhad. If it reached 36, then they have to give 1 2-year old camel, bint laboon. And that's from 36 to 45. 46 to 60 is what? A 3 year old. 61 to 75 is a 4 year old. 76 to 90 is?
Two-year-old,
Bint Laboon. And then from 91 to? 120 is? Two-year-olds. Or 2 3-year-olds. 3 year-olds. Now. Okay.
Above
120? Now, if it goes above 120, from 121 on, then they divide it into groups of 40 or 50. If for every 40, then there's a 2-year-old. For every 50, there's a 3-year-old. And that's the general overall schedule for the zakat on camels. And the answer to this question is merely, what is the nisab? The minimum amount that zakat is required on camels if a person has at least 5. Now, what's your question?
For 91 to 120, is it 3 years or 2 3 years?
From 91 to 120 is what?
Is it for 2 3 years or 3 3 years?
2 3 years. 2 female camels.
2 3-year-olds.
Yes,
no.
2 3-year-olds. Yani before that is 2 2-year-olds and then 2 3-year-olds. Yani حقتان. Now, after this, the next question, number 4. Question number 4, ماذا يجب في كل مما يأتي? Okay, this question is actually in 3 parts. The first 2 questions are in reference to camels, the second 2 questions are in reference to cows, and the third 2 questions are in reference to sheep. Okay? So this is like, just like a few questions related to, the zakat on all the types of livestock that are, subject to zakat. Camels, cows, and sheep. Okay, so before we go to camels and sheep, what's the general ruling concerning camels, zakat on camels, and then zakat on sheep? What's the general schedule of zakat on cows? On cows, it starts at what?
30.
Yani, if a person has 30 cows, then they have to give what?
A one-year-old
male or female cow. If they have, the next count is what? 40. If they have 40, then they have to give what? A 2-year-old. If they have 40, and then after that, it's in multiples or groups of 30 and 40. For every 30, they have to give a 1-year-old. For every 40, a 2-year-old. So, for example, if they had 60, they have to give what?
Two 1-year-olds.
If they had 70,
a 1-year-old
and a 2-year-old, like 30 and 40. If they had 80, two 2-year-olds. If they had 90, three 3-year-olds, and like this up until what? Up until 120. At 120, they have to give what?
Four 1-year-olds
or three. 2-year-olds or 2, because it's either 3 40s or 4 30s, right? In groups of 30 and 40. Okay, so that's the general ruling concerning cows. And in terms of sheep, the general ruling is what? And the schedule of zakat on sheep is starts at
30.
Starts at 40. 40 up
until
120 is 1 sheep. 121 up until 200 is 2 sheep. 201 up until 300 is 3 sheep. After 300 is what?
Every
100, 1 sheep. For every 100. So if it's over 300, we just count how many hundreds they are. Yani for every 100, 1 sheep. Okay, now, with that being said, let's answer the questions that came in question number 4. What is the zakat for everything that follows? 5 khamsin min al-ibl. If a person has 5 camels, what's their zakat?
1 sheep.
Second question, خَمْسَ وَثَلَاثِينَ مِنَ الْعِبْلِ. Person has, 35 camels. How much do they have to give?
Bint Makhad,
one 1-year-old. Because it didn't reach, it didn't go over 35. 25 to 35 is 1 1-year-old. What about the next question, ثَلَاثِينَ مِنَ الْبَقْرِ. They have 30 cows. By the way, this cows is on page 57. And sheep is on page 58. Cows is on page 57, sheep is on page 58.
One year.
If the person has 30 cows, they have to give a?
One
One year old. What if they have Kamsara Ishwari Min al-Bakr, 25 cows?
No
zakat, because the zakat on cows starts at? The minimum is 30. So if they have only 25, they don't have to give anything unless they just want to give something. Okay, after this, the next question is in reference to sheep, and the sheep is on page 58. Miate shatin. They have 200 sheep. They have to give how much? Nah, miate. Yani miate, yani miatein shat.
Three sheep.
Everybody's in agreement? Huh? Three sheep? Nobody disagrees with this? Huh? What you say, Musa?
Is it 200 or
300?
200.
From 40 to 120 is one sheep. 121 to 200? Two sheep. 201 to 300? Three sheep. So miyate shat, 200 sheep, they have to give what?
Two sheep.
Yani, sab'in wa thalathina min al-ghanam. Yani, if a person has 37 sheep.
No zakat.
Why? Because it starts at what? 40. It starts at 40. 40 to 120. Up until 120, they have to give one sheep. Yani, 121 up until 200, two sheep. 201 to 300, three sheep. Everything after that is counted in hundreds. Tayyib. The next question, number 5, is dealing with zakat az-zurur. Yani, zakat on crops. Zakat on crops. This area is dealt with on page 58. Yani, the deal for the legislation of zakat on crops is on the bottom of page 58. And the rest of the answers, yani on page 59. On page 59, the rest of the answers related to crops. Okay, question number 5. Udhkur al-dalila ala wujub al-zakati fi zurua. Yani mention the evidence of what? The obligation of zakat on crops. On crops. Okay, what is the evidence for this? Yani obligation of zakat on crops. Naam ya Abdul Haq. Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 144, Naam. من ثمره
كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب
المسرفين. ما شاء الله. أحسنت. Who wants to help us translate this? هو الذي أنشأ جنات معروشات وغير معروشات. What is the meaning?
He
is the one who created, brought into existence, jannatin ma'arushatin wa ghayru ma'arushatin. What does ma'arushat means? Yani, it means that the gardens, they have something to for them to grow upon. Yani, like fencing or something that the gardens are, yani, attached to. Yani, this way, trellis, naam, trellis. Yani, ma'arushat wa ghayru ma'arushat. Wal-nakhla wa-zara'a, nakhla wa-zara'a, dates and? Yani, zara'a means? Not wheat. Yani, zara'a is more general.
Like
general crops, naam. Dates and general crops, mukhtalifan ukulaha means? It has different tastes, as zaytun wa rumman. Olives and
pomegranates,
mutashabihan wa ghayru mutashabihan, look alike and some not similar, similar and dissimilar. Kulu min thamarihi idha athmara, eat from its fruits idha athmara, when it became right. Wa atu haqqahu yawma hasadihi, and give its right, yani its fulfill its obligation on the day of its harvest. This is the shahid from the ayat. This is the real, the actual proof of the legislation of zakat on crops. And the end of the ayat, ولا تصرفوا إنه لا يحب المصرفين, means don't be wasteful, extravagant, because indeed Allah doesn't love those who are wasteful, extravagant. Okay, the shahid from this ayat, yani that is the point of proof, is وآتوا حقه. Yani in reference to these crops and fruits and things, give its right, fulfill its right, the obligation of zakat upon it, يوم حصاده, on the day that it is harvest. On the day that it is harvest. And this is also a proof that zakat on crops doesn't require the hawl, يحول عليه الحول. Rather, when the crops are harvest, it has to be, yani its zakat has to be taken care of at that time. So this question was اذكر الدليل على وجوب زكاة في الزروع, and that was the end of the question. But we want to just look at a little bit yani further yani okay, let's look at question number 6 and we'll come back. متى يجب إخراج زكاة الحبوب. Listen, متى يجب إخراج زكاة الحبوب. When is it obligatory? إخراج, to bring out, yani to distribute, to give the zakat on grains. Naam. Musa.
يجب إخراج زكاة الحبوب إذا اشتد.
إذا اشتد. يعني نعم إذا اشتد is the time. يعني نعم is the time يعني that has to be given. Uh-huh. Go ahead. What? وقت الحصاد, yani the time of the harvest. Naam. What about the nisab? What is the nisab?
Khamsa
awsuk. Khamsa awsuk. And one wask is what?
Yeah, one wask is
60. So if one wask is 60 sa'a, so 5 awsuk is 300 sa'a. يعني 300 ساعة. One ساعة is what? Approximately? يعني the what can be held in two palms of two hands? يعني the volume of what can be held in the palms of two hands or mud? يعني four times. Four mud. Four amdad. Is one ساعة. And 60 ساعة is one wask. And 5 awsuk is the nisab on crops. يعني 300 Sa'a is the yani minimum that requires zakat to be paid on, to be given, to be distributed on the crops.
2.5 kilograms.
Huh? 2.5? 2 kilograms?
And it depends on the grain.
No, but any kind of grain, whatever it is, the point is that 5 awsuk is 300 sa'a. I don't think 300 sa'a of anything is going to be 2.5 kilograms of anything. Yeah. In any case, what's important here, right, is that the nisab is yani 5 awsuk, which is equivalent in sa'a to 300 sa'a. That's what's important, and it should be distributed, yani the zakat, if the grains become hardened, and if the fruits, yani, show their ripeness, when they become apparently ripe, yani, at the time of the harvest.
No, I
compute
one sa'a is 2.5.
Oh, one sa'a is approximately 2.5. Okay. Now, and he's close to that. Of course, it depends on, because different grains, the same volume of different grains are going to be different weights, right? Yani, because barley, for example, is not going to be like rice in weight, even though they fill the same container, and so on. Question number 7. Oh, before we get to... question number 7. اذكر الانواع التي تجب فيها الزكاة بالنص. What are the types that have been specifically mentioned that are obligatory to give zakat on? Yani in the book it says there are 5, but actually I think we had some discussion about this. And what is clear in the text of the hadith is that there are 4. What are they? Naam.
Wheat, date, raisins, and barley
are specifically mentioned. And the 5th one that they mentioned in the book, salt, yani they said it is a type of barley or type of wheat. In any case, I didn't find any hadith that verified it. So we know that there are 4 that there's ijma' upon, and anything else is the qiyas upon these things, yani that yani can be included under the title of crops, yani or grains that are similar to those which have been mentioned specifically in the hadith, yani barley and wheat and raisins and dates. Now, Naam, the miqdar, the amount of zakat that you have to give, if it reached the minimum of 300 sa'a, how much do you have to give? Yani either 10%, if you didn't make any effort to water the plants, meaning it's watered by rain, watered by underground springs, or some kind of natural means of watering, then you have to give 10% of the crop. If you actually make an effort to water the crops, then it's 5%. Naam. Okay, question number eight is in reference to zakat on a zahab and fidda, yani naqdain, the 2 types of currency. Question number 8 is on page 60. Kam nisaba al-zahab alladhi tajibu fihi al-zakat. What is the nisab on gold, which, yani, the gold which is obligatory to give zakat for? Wa kam nisab al-fidda. And what is the nisab of fidda? Yani, al-zahab alladhi tajibu fihi al-zakat, yani, means that, suggests that there's some zahab that is not obligatory to give zakat on. And what might that be? Is there some zakat that's not obligatory to give zakat on?
Naam?
Personal use. Yani, the difference of opinion here is about what? The zahab that a woman has for her personal use, that she just wears, then, yani, she's not obligated to give zakat on that. So what we are talking about here is we're talking about the zakat, which is subject, I mean, the gold that is subject to zakat. What is the nisab for this gold? Naam, Abdul Haq. So, إذا بلغ يعني 20 مثقالا وحول عليه حول, meaning مثقال, يعني that's a measure of weight, right? The weight of 20 مثقال. And 1 year passed over, the person had it for at least 1 year, then zakat became obligatory. And it's also mentioned that nani ishrin mithqal is equal to, in today's weight, to approximately 85 grams. Approximately 85 grams of gold. Yani if the gold reached that weight, approximately 85 grams, then is subject to zakat as long as the person had it for the period of 1 year. When the 1 year passed, it's obligatory to give zakat on it. And the zakat on it, the miqdar, how much is to be given? 1/40 or 2.5%. Yani, in gold, from the dinar, 20 dinars is 20 mithqal. 20 dinars, and what is, yani, the rate is 1/2 of a dinar for every 20, which is 1/40 or 2.5%. As far as the silver al-fidda, idha balaga, مئتي dirham, if it 200 dirhams, silver coins, and the 1 year passed over it, then it became obligatory to give zakat on the silver. Naam.
We are saying that it's honorable to give the zakat on Okay, so the person might give the zakat in the currency of the people at that time, as opposed to, yani, it's optional. Yani, the person can give the zakat in gold or in silver, or they can give its value in money, yani, which perhaps, in most cases, probably would be easier for a person to spend if they want to buy something with it, right? But the point is that yani, if a person has 200 yani, silver coins or 20 gold coins, yani, then that's the nisab, and what they have to give, the amount they have to give is 1/40th or 2.5%. Question number 9. Ma miqdaru, and by the way, this question is in reference to Urud al-Tijara. It's on page 61. Urud al-Tijara is discussed on page 61. Ma miqdaru ma yakhruj min urud al-Tijara fi zakat. Yani, what is the amount that has to be given from merchandise that is for trade? How much do you have to give in zakat? What is the miqdar? How much are you supposed to give? What is the percentage or the amount that you have to give in zakat? Yani, this is the only question related to urud al-tijara. But there are also other questions, right? Yani, what is the nisab, as well as what is the miqdar, and does it have to be a time period, and so on. And we had a long discussion for a couple of weeks, two or three weeks, concerning this topic. But in essence, yani, what they're asking here is, what is the amount, yani, that you have to give in zakat if a person has to give zakat on merchandise that's for trade? The amount? Naam, Abdul Karim.
I think on the tijara, I think there's no there's nothing on the merchandise. But I think after you sell the merchandise, the money is.
Okay, the majority opinion is that when you sell the merchandise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that you have to give?
After the money sets for 1 year or whatever.
Ah.
After you have, your bill to pay.
Okay, they're saying that if you had the merchandise
right. For
1 year.
What is it? It's not on the merchandise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
the value of the merchandise. Okay, uh-huh.
I think we say that as soon as you intend the merchandise will be sold, yeah. Whether you sell it or not.
1/40th. Okay, so yani, the majority of the scholars, they say that zakat on urud al-tijara, yani, that there is a time period upon it, and there is a nisab, and that there is an amount that you have to give, which none of it is proven, and none of these points are proven in any from any textual evidences. And for this reason, the minority of scholars say that there is no zakat on urud al-tijara. But in any case, those who hold that you have to give zakat, they said it is 1/40th or 2.5% of the value of the merchandise. Rubu ushur, naam. Rubu ushur. Yani, rubu ushur means one what? Means, yani, a quarter of a tenth, which means 1/40th. Or 2.5%. Rubu ushur. That's how they said in the book. Naam. And we had a long discussion about this, like we said. And what appears to be.
We answer according to the book.
No, we answer according to the book that what you have to give is rubu ushur. Yani, how much you have to give, the miqdar of zakat or urud al-tijara, is rubu ushur. Yani, a fourth of a tenth, or 1/40th, or 2.5% of it. Just yani, to benefit from yani, the summary of the issue, yani, do we have a couple of minutes yani, remaining? This is the last question?
No.
Oh, it's not the last question. Okay. So, in any case, what was the argument of those who said that there's no zakat on a urud al-tijara? What was their argument and what was their yani, position? In brief, naam. Naam. There's no textual proof in the Quran nor in the Sunnah that specifies yani zakat or urud al-tijara, or specifies a nisab, or specifies a hawl, or any of that.
or what amount, or even the miqdar, how much has to be given. Therefore, yani, the minority of scholars say that there's no zakat, yani, that's specified in this way. Yani, specific amount, specific nisab, specific time limits, but rather a person can give whatever they want to give, and this might be from the far-reaching wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that it is an encouragement that people invest their money into merchandise. There's no zakat on it. But the benefit of it is that the person who invests their money in merchandise means that they are spending money in the market, people are buying, they are employing people, so the money is circulating as opposed to their money just sitting in their home, in their safe or in the bank. So it's an encouragement to circulate the money, to get things moving, to activate the economy, to employ people, and the benefit from this is far greater than 2.5% of that money sitting in their house. Wallahu alam. Anyway, last question is in reference to Zakatul Fitr, I think, right? There's two more questions? The people who produce the merchandise, the people who sell the merchandise, the people who transport the merchandise, all kind of people are employed. So the economy is activated, enlivened by this money being put into the market as opposed to it sitting in somebody's safe or in somebody's bank account. Okay, question number 10 is in reference to Zakatul Fitr. This is on page 62. Zakatul Fitr is discussed on page 62. The question is, yani, actually there are four parts to the questions related to Zakatul Fitr. Ma hukmu Zakatul Fitr, meaning what is the ruling concerning Zakatul Fitr? Ma miqdaruha, what is the amount that you have to give in Zakatul Fitr? Ala man tajibu, who is it mandatory or obligatory upon to give Zakatul Fitr? Wa ma waqtu ikhrajuha, waqtu ikhrajiha, and what is the time for it to be given or distributed? Okay, as far as the first question is hukm, ya Musa? The hukm is that is fardun. Anybody have a proof for that? That is fardun. Any hadith? Hadith of Ibn Umar? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zakatul Fitr, naam.
Slave or
free, ذكر أو أنثى, masculine or feminine, من المسلمين. And the hadith of Ibn Umar, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ibn Umar says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made obligatory Zakatul Fitr from Ramadan on all the people, yani, from yani the amount, a sa'a of tamr, a sa'a of aqd, a sa'a of sha'ir, and that is on every free person as well as slave. Every male as well as female from the Muslims, and in the narration of Bukhari, the young and the old from amongst the Muslims. Yani the proof that is obligatory, yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم farada Zakatul Fitr min Ramadan ala nas. Even a newly born. Naam. Okay, that's the hukm. Ma hukm zakat? Ma miqdaruha? Yani is miqdar is also mentioned in the hadith and other hadith. And what is it? The miqdar, the amount is a sa'a. A sa'a of tamr, or sa'a of sha'ir, zabib, aqid, and so on. Naam. Ala man tajib. Yani the third part of the question, who is it obligatory upon? Naam. It is obligatory ala kulli muslim. Every Muslim, specifically male or female, free or slave, young or old. It's obligatory upon every Muslim, male or female, free or slave, young or old. Huh?
Al-Qadir.
Al-Qadir. And if they're able, naam. Whoever has sufficient means or above the means for their sustenance for that day. The amount we already said, the amount that has to be given is a sa'a. And there's some difference of opinion about wheat, right? Some of the scholars held the view of Muawiyah that the wheat is only a half a sa'a, as opposed to other items, which is a sa'a.
But there is also a hadith that the son of the Prophet, there was one of his wives who gave
Naam. That's right. So that's the opinion of the minority of scholars. The majority hold that. It's all the same. It's one sa'a, as mentioned in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He said, we used to give a sa'a in the time of the Prophet, and we're not going to do it any other way after that. In any case, there's a difference of opinion about this point. The last part of the question, ma waqtu ikhrajiha? What is the time for it to be distributed for the zakat al-fitr? Qabla salat al-eid? Yani, it became obligatory upon the people with the ghurub al-shams in the last day of Ramadan. Yani, the last day of Ramadan, when the sun sets on the last fasting day, the zakat al-fitr became obligatory. And its time for it is any time, yani, from sunset on that night until qabla salat al-eid, until before the performance of the Eid prayer. And it is also permissible that it can be distributed yawm or yawmain, yani, qabla salat al-eid. It can be distributed at least one day or 2 days, and this is also valid that it be distributed, or even 3 days, yani. And we're saying 3 days because we don't know if the month is going to be 29 or 30 days. We don't know if it's going to be 29 or 30 days. So like 2 days, if it is 29, 2 days before. If it turned out to be 30 days, then it would turn out to be 3 days before. Huh? If it goes overseas, the money, yani, meaning if you're sending money to somebody to buy food to distribute as zakat al-fitr, can you send them the money in advance?
It could go early, because they're limiting the day.
I'm not clear what you say. Are you saying, can the food be distributed overseas early, or can you send the money to somebody early?
Send the money early.
You can send it any time. You appoint somebody, but they have to distribute it within the time of its distribution.
Before the Eid?
It has to be 1 or 2 days before the Eid. You can send the money before Ramadan if you want. Doesn't matter. But the food has to be distributed, yani, before the Salat al-Eid, 1 or 2 days before, or just before. Yani, it's better that it be distributed close to the time of Salat al-Eid. The later, the better. However, it's permissible, yani, any time after Maghrib or 1 or 2 days before. The last question number 10 is on the last page of the book. I didn't write the page number here. What's the last page in this book? The last page is on page 63. Page 63 and page 64. On page 63 and page 64, the last question is Masarif al-Zakat, the channels through which Zakat may be distributed. What are the Masarif al-Zakat? What is this question? Question number 10 is اذكر مصارف الزكاة التي وردت في القرآن الكريم. اذكر مصارف الزكاة التي وردت في القرآن الكريم. What is the meaning of the question? The people who are mentioned to receive zakat, who are mentioned in the Quran, yani in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 60th Ayat. The Ayat first, give us the Ayat, memorization. Somebody memorize the Ayat?
إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة
قلوبهم مؤلفة قلوبهم
وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل
فريضة من الله الله عليم حكيم. نعم. So here we say what إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين. يعني the poor and the needy. والعاملين عليها. It's only for these people who are mentioned following this. يعني this word here. الفقراء والمساكين. The poor and the needy. والعاملين عليها. Those who are employed working for the institution of zakat, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ يعني the hearts to attract people, yani those who are, yani we're attracting, bringing their heart towards Islam, meaning to interest them in entering Islam or to make their hearts firm upon Islam, yani, and also وَفِي الرِّقَابِ to free slaves or captives, Muslim captives.
والغارمين the people in debt وفي سبيل الله in the way of Allah meaning الجهاد وابن السبيل the wayfarer the person who is a traveler who is cut off from their means of reaching their destination. Okay, so like let's look at a little bit of detail. We don't have much time. Actually, we have 1 minute before the adhan. But let's look at a little bit of what we said, the difference between faqir and miskin. The faqir is the?
The one who is very poor.
The one who is more in need.
Yeah.
Yeah, meaning that the person doesn't have any means. And the? After the adhan, inshallah. لا إله إلا الله صل على رسولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The main thing we want to mention here, al-faqir wal-masakin. One of the points that some of the points that we mentioned concerning this, that number one, they're not the same. The poor and the needy are not the same, right? So which one is in greater need? The faqir. How do we know that? Because Allah mentioned them first. Some of the scholars gave different definitions of faqir and masakin. General meaning of it is the faqir is the person who doesn't have any means. The miskin is the person who has some means but not sufficient to take care of all of their yani obligations. Not sufficient. Yani they might have half of their means but they don't have Yeah, they might have at least half, but they don't have enough to take care of their full, while the faqir has no means or less than half of what they have. The amilina alayha, we said, are what? The people who are engaged in the collection, preservation, distribution of the zakat. And these people can be given from the zakat itself unless they are salaried by the government, then they are not allowed to take anything from the zakat, if they are already receiving a salary. The mu'allafat qulubuhum, we said that they are different categories of people. They might be a slave who has a contract with their owner, and in a written agreement to pay a certain amount to get out of slavery, or a Muslim may use their zakat to buy a person, to purchase a slave with the intent of freeing them. Or it could be a Muslim who's a captive from war or something like this to ransom them. Okay, all of this is included under yani the riqab. The gharimuna, we said also, is two types, the people in debt. What are the general two types we said?
The ones who did Islam, Hussein, and
debt. Yani the one who got into debt, not for themselves, but for some benefit to the Muslims, to reconcile between Muslims. And the other one is the one who got in debt for their own benefit, something that they yani got into debt for themselves. Two different types. The first one is the one who, for example, dispute between two tribes or two people, and he reconciled between them in exchange for giving them money that became a debt upon him that he has to pay. This person is entitled to receive zakat in the amount that's necessary to pay that debt. Now, and it's even permissible for that person who got into debt in order to reconcile between the Muslims, it's permissible for them to actually even beg in order to get that money to relieve themselves of the debt that they incurred Yani for the benefit of the Muslims in general.
So the other one is not the slave for him to pay.
even a person who's in debt for their own self, even it's permissible, and in circumstances for them to ask for help to relieve them of debt, and they're entitled to receive, and it's permissible for them to ask to help to pay their debt. But this one, yani, is different because what? Because this person has not gone into debt for their self. Fi sabilillah, also, we said, fi sabilillah, that the majority of scholars say that fi sabilillah has its clear meaning is the person who's fighting for the sake of Allah, to elevate the word of Allah, not for the, yani, to take somebody's land or to oppress other people, but the person is fighting in jihad in the way of Allah. Some scholars also may include it in this. Yani Sheikh Uthaymeen said, even a student of knowledge who is completely devoted to seeking knowledge, which prevents them from earning a living, that they could also come under this category and be given for zakat, given from the zakat. Anything else? And also we said here that the opening of this category of fi sabilillah to all good charitable projects has no real basis in the Sharia nor in the practice of the Salaf. Any meaning, this fi sabilillah does not include building a masjid for people to worship in or building a school to teach, you know, the Sharia. It does not include that. Rather, it's limited to fi sabilillah, yani fighting the way of Allah, and some include it also, yani the student of knowledge who is devoted, dedicated to seeking knowledge to the extent that they're not able to earn a living. And Ibn Sabil, we also said about this, that it includes Naam? Person who's cut off, even if they are rich, even if they are rich and they have money in their land, but they are out in the on the road, away from their home, and they either ran out of money, or they lost their money, or were stolen, or whatever, and they don't have the means to reach their destination or to get back, yani, to their home, then they are entitled to receive zakat, which they do not have to pay back, unless they were given more than they need to complete their journey. Once they complete their journey, what remains was not intended for them, they should return it. Now, this is the summary, yani, of what we said concerning the Masarif al-Zakat, and the summary of what we covered in Kitab al-Zakat, although, yani, there were a lot of issues that we covered over the past couple of months that are not entailed in these questions, but at least, yani, it's a refresher. I would advise every one of us, Waleed, I'm going to come to you, I would advise every one of us to go back and read the book and try to benefit from some of the details of the points that we covered. This is a very important topic that a lot of people have overlooked and haven't taken the time to study. It's a very important topic. It's a real matter that we have to deal with every day, that people have to deal with every day, and we should, yani, be familiar with it. Waleed?
How about, okay, so very tragic. Is that also include, like, general, like, if I'm walking down the block, a random block, and I see, like, $50?
No, that's not a buried treasure. No, when we talk about buried treasure, we mean some wealth that actually was lost, and there's some indication that it was from the time of Jahiliyyah, not from the Muslims, then that is considered a buried treasure. As far as some Muslims lost some money, and we know that, yani, it's from the Muslims, it's not a buried treasure. That's not considered a buried treasure. That, yani, has to be announced. You have to search for the owner of that money, announce it publicly, yani, if you're in a Muslim land, and you have to wait at least 1 year. If nobody came for it, then you can use it. Yani, in this land, the person should make an effort. Yani, if it's any money that's found should be of a significant amount. And if it's something that's significant, that the person who lost it would be concerned about trying to find it, would be searching for it, then we should make an effort to find them. We should make an effort to find them. Yani, to return it. And if it's like $1, $2, $3, if somebody lost $1, it's not likely that they're going to go back to Brooklyn or go back to Queens looking for the dollar, right? So that person is not going to come looking for it. You're not going to find that person. But if you found $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000, no doubt whoever lost it is going to be looking for it. Then we should try to find the person who lost it. We should try to announce it in a way that is not a giveaway. And if you found something of value, you don't describe it in detail. But you say something of value was found in this place, and you give some kind of general description of it, so that if a person lost it, they will know that you're talking about them, and they will be able to come and then describe it in detail to prove that it's theirs. Because otherwise, if you say, I found, yani, $350 in the masjid last night. Maybe other people may come and say, I lost $350. But if you say, I found some money, some cash in the masjid, then anybody who comes, you have to ask them, how much did you lose? They said, I lost, you know, $2,000. No, I didn't find that. I lost $50. I didn't find that either. So the person who lost it knows how much they lost. Inshallah. So in that way, yani, the rightful owner, inshallah, will be returned to them. Because the point is what? That if somebody lost something, we want to return it to the owner. We don't want to keep somebody else's property, and we don't want the person who lost it to be deprived of it. So if there's some way to return it to the owner, we try to do that. That's part of Islam. And we don't say, I'm fortunate, I found somebody's money, alhamdulillah, I'm not going to say a word about it.
I used to find money, somebody money in the masjid. It was 600 or something. What do you go say around, it's 800, this and that. I give the money to the head of the masjid to keep it, until the time. But the guy, what is, I don't know if he doesn't know how much he lost. Or what happened?
That's possible. It's possible that a person doesn't know exactly how much money they have.
He realized later he lost money because he talked to people and from that and giving the money back.
It depends. Okay, there's some different. Like it was found in what? In a wallet? In a bag? No, just money scattered on the floor?
He was holding. I think he was sleeping in the place.
Uh-huh.
And we know he slept that time over there.
We know that he was sleeping in that place?
Yeah, he sleep there. People, other people come to sleep there later. I find the money given to the guy.
No.
I say, if you have somebody climbing, ask for home. But he keep the money about 3 days, and then we hear the news around, this guy lost 800, that's why he was saying, he give the money back. I don't know if
he has. You do the best you can. You do the best you can. Sometimes you can't be absolutely certain. But the point is that you want to try to return it to the rightful owner, not to everybody who makes a claim. And of course, we live in a non-Muslim society, so we are affected by the non-Muslims. So even the Muslim, if they found some money, like one of the brothers, mashallah, he worked for a bank, and he, alhamdulillah, he gave it up, but at that time he was working for a bank, and he was entrusted with large amounts of money, and one time he was given money that he didn't sign for. They forgot to have him sign for it, and he realized it later on, and he returned, he gave it back. And it was a large amount of money. Not 10,000 or 20,000, a large amount of money. And the people, everybody, including the Muslims, who knew about it, thought that he's a fool. But he's not a fool, because Allah knows that this is not his. He doesn't have a right to it. Even if the people made a mistake and gave it to you. If you go in the store and the people give you back the wrong change, you give them a 10, they give you back change for 100. Allah, you don't have a right to that. You don't have a right to that. You're not a fool for turning that in. Actually, you're stealing if you take that money. And you have to answer to Allah Yawmul Qiyamah. It doesn't matter. The money belongs to the Muslim store or the non-Muslim store. It's not yours. You don't have a right to it. And we don't take other people's property, even if they're kafirs. We don't have a right to take the money of kafirs. Well, he's a kafir, we can take his money. No, we don't have a right to take anybody's money. So I'm saying that we're living in a society and we're affected by the society. And sometimes we begin to think like the kafirs think. And we forget our principles and our values, and we begin to act like them. So I'm saying that we have to be careful in this kind of thing, and we do the best we can to return any lost property to the people who it belongs to. Of course, there are some details that we have to look at sometimes. What is it? If it's money or something like that, we should try to return it. And if it's something else, we might handle it different ways according to what Islam teaches us, and Allah knows best. We're going to stop here, inshallah. It's time for the Salah. Next week, inshallah, we're going to be doing Kitab al-Siyam. All of us are familiar with fasting, right? Because we fast all the time. And in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, we just finished Ramadan. But in any case, we're going to look at the fiqh of zakat. I mean, the fiqh of siyam starting next week. So please, come prepared. You can read the first section or the first few pages. And inshallah, that's what we're going to cover in our session next week. Inshallah. Whoever needs a copy of the book, or I don't know about a copy, I don't have any copies, but whoever wants the PDF file, we can send it to you. And also, we have some secondary sources that we normally use. Some of the books of the scholars, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and in those secondary sources, we have also PDF files for those books, in Arabic at least, sometimes in English, a few times, but not too often. Whoever needs any of the references that we use, please let me know, send me a reminder. and we can send it to you. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.